I wanted to start. This is going to be a really short reflection, but I actually wanted to start with a few words from St. Augustine. Just a note before I read, he's going to use the word exorcism there. What he means by that is a series of prayers that were said before a candidate for baptism was baptized. My friends, these realities are called sacraments, because in them, one thing is seen while another is grasped. What is seen is a mere physical likeness. What is grasped bears spiritual fruit. So now, if you want to understand the body of Christ, listen to the Apostle Paul speaking to the faithful. You are the body of Christ, member for member. 1 Corinthians 12, 27. If you, therefore, are Christ's body and members, it is your own mystery that is placed on the Lord's table. It is your own mystery that you are receiving. You are saying amen to what you are. Your response is a personal signature affirming your faith. When you hear the body of Christ, you reply, amen. Be a member of Christ's body then, so that your amen may ring true. But what role does the bread play? We have no theory of our own to propose here. Listen instead to what Paul says about this sacrament. The bread is one, and we, though many, are one body. 1 Corinthians 10:17. Understand and rejoice. Unity, truth, faithfulness, love. One bread, he says. What is this one bread? Is it not the one body formed from the many? Remember, bread does not come from a single grain, but from many. When you received exorcism, you were ground. When you were baptized, you were leavened. When you received the fire of the Holy Spirit, you were baked. Be what you see, receive what you are. This is what Paul is saying about the bread. So, too, what are we to understand about the cup? It is similar and requires little explanation. In the visible object of bread, many grains are gathered into one, just as the faithful, so the scripture says, form a single heart and mind in God. And thus it is with the wine. Remember, friends, how wine is made. Individual grapes hang together in a bunch, but the juice from them all is mingled to become a single brew. This is the image chosen by Christ our Lord to show how, at his own table, the mystery of our unity and peace is solemnly consecrated. That was St. Augustine. Well, good evening again. My name is James Cooper. I'm Director of Ministries here at Boulevard, and it's my pleasure to offer you a few thoughts this evening as we reflect on Jesus' last night with his disciples. And in particular, this last meal with them. Many of us may not, under normal circumstances, be accustomed to regularly reflecting on the Lord's Supper beyond celebrating it. Course, these are not normal circumstances. We haven't been together for about a month now, and it isn't at all clear when exactly we will be together again. And in the midst of all this social distancing and separation from one another, we have been blessed to live in an age and a society in which our technology allows the ministry of the church to continue, at least in some form. We've had worship, we've had classes, we've had prayer, but we have not had communion in so many senses. There is no wine, there is no bread that we can touch, that we can see, that we can taste, that we can smell. Just as there are no brothers and sisters to see, to embrace, to enjoy in the flesh. Zoom calls like this one are wonderful encouragement in the midst of all this isolation, but they are no substitute for physical presence in our embodied life together. Lately, many have been finding virtual life to be tinged with just a little bit of sadness. We are, after all, flesh and blood. We are bodies, and together we are one body in Christ Jesus, who also had a body. We are, at the moment, a body disembodied, and it is an awkward and terrible state, just like the separation of body and soul at death. And it's not really meant to be, but it must be, at least for now. It struck me this past week just how much of our experience, or rather the lack of experience of communion this past month, parallels one aspect of the Lord's Supper that can sometimes fade into the background. There is a deep longing that many of us feel to be with one another, to be with other brothers and sisters in the faith, perhaps at this church or other churches, longtime friends and family members we are accustomed to praying with, eating with, being with. We long for a kind of presence that is simply not possible in this present pandemic age. There is simply too much sickness and too much death all around, and the lack of an act so pointedly communal and so pointedly physical as the Eucharist stabs us in the side right at the beginning of another week spent inside. And of course, we've lived in a world filled with sickness and death long before the current outbreak. Long before any of us were forced to stay apart, we came together, we broke bread, and we longed for a day when Christ would return. That's how Paul explains it in 1 Corinthians 11. He says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Certainly in the supper, we experience Christ's presence, but there's also a way in which when we partake of the supper, we also experience Christ's absence. We cannot see him. We cannot touch him. We cannot hear him as he was here in Luke's gospel. And we look outside and we see that there is a deeper communion, a kind of fellowship and harmony we were meant to experience with one another and with all of creation that does not now exist. And it won't exist even after the pandemic has ended. There is simply too much sickness, too much death, too much sin in this present evil age. But it will exist when Christ returns in his glorious resurrected body to judge the living and the dead. And we long for that day when we take the supper. In this meantime, until Christ returns, we are given this sacrament as food for the journey, as nourishment for our souls, and a reminder of our bond with one another and with our common Lord. And that reminder, of course, is still true, however far apart we are. As we continue to distance ourselves from one another, I'm once again encouraged that we have found ways to love one another and our neighbors, to make the best we can of the evil we find ourselves in. But as the weariness of this new way of life sets in, and as the absence of the church's sacramental, physical, embodied life strikes you with varying degrees of sadness and longing, I would encourage all of us
not to run away from those feelings, but to bring them before the Lord in prayer, asking for a time when we can enjoy one another's presence again, just as we ask for a time when Christ will come again and make all things new. Please, pray with me now.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this chance to gather together to celebrate your Son's last meal with his disciples, to celebrate this sacrament that you've given us as a reminder of our bond with Christ and with one another, and as a reminder that you will come again, even as you are absent from us now. We pray that you would continue to be with us as we are apart, that you would not let the love we have for one another die, and that you would not let the love we have for our common Lord die, that you would bring us through this, and that we would be together again soon. Amen.